discover that fantastic point where science and magic meet. Welcome to Healing with the Rainbow Rays. Your host is Alejandra, the internationally known healer, teacher, and author. Alejandra's website is www.colorhealing.com. Healing with the Rainbow Rays will inform, inspire, uplift, illuminate, and transform you. This show explores all the different metaphysical, self-help, ascension, and holistic realms of consciousness. And its underlying theme is the art of color energy healing. Here is Alejandra.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope everybody's start of this week is going well. And I have a great guest on tonight, and we'll bring him on in just a little bit. Let me give you the call-in number if you wish to just listen to the switchboard, or if you would like to make a comment or ask a question of our guest, just raise your hand when you're on there. Anyway, the number to call in is 347-945-6930. That's 347-945-6930. And the chat room is open. And we bid everyone so far that's come in, hello there, and we're glad you're here. And so you can come in that way, and you can also listen to the computer. And I want to bring our guest in right away. We're just doing an hour show, but we keep losing him here on the switchboard. So I think what I'd like to do is, before I do an intro, I want to make sure he's here. I think there may be a difficulty in his connection holding on this particular screen. So there he goes. He's back with us. Good. So I'm going to go ahead and grab him before he disappears again. this is what we get with the Mercury retrograde, right? All right. So anyway, let's introduce our guest, who is Jonathan Robinson. He's the author of The Technology of Joy and many other books. He's a best-selling author of 10 books and is a licensed psychotherapist. He's reached millions of people throughout the world, and his work has been translated into 47 languages. Jonathan has made numerous appearances on Oprah, CNN, and many other national TV talk shows, and articles about him have appeared in dozens of magazines and newspapers. Jonathan is also a professional speaker and seminar leader whose popular workshops on happiness have been taught in 6 countries. In his workshops and books, Jonathan likes to focus on teaching methods for increasing joy that take under 2 minutes a day to do, yet can have a dramatic effect on one's level of fulfillment. Nowadays, Jonathan lectures all over the world, teaching what he calls cutting-edge inner tools for experiencing a truly deep and meaningful life. In his latest book, The Technology of Joy, Jonathan researched the absolute best ways to use various apps, gadgets, and supplements to hack happiness. I'm going to ask him to explain that one. It's obviously a computer term, but it's great. So this is to hack happiness. And he's here today to talk about how these technologies can bring more joy and how they will soon change the world. Now, the full title of the book that it has just come out, I believe, just in March, actually, and I have a copy here, and I can tell you it's really great. The full title is The Technology of Joy, the subtitle is The 101 or 101 Best Apps, Gadgets, Tools, and Supplements for Feeling More Joy in Your Life. It's available now in nationwide booksellers. You can find it on his site at www.findinghappiness.com. Again, his is www.findinghappiness.com and over at amazon.com. And he's over on Facebook as well. under Deeper Happiness. You can go like that page. So it's Deeper Happiness, all one word, on Facebook. There may be some other social media that he has. We'll ask him about that when we bring him on. But anyway, without further ado, let's welcome warmly Jonathan Robinson. And we're on scrolling here, so hold on a moment. Okay, there he is. Hi, Jonathan. Oop, we lost him again. This is really strange. It just went. Oh, wow. This is going to be an interesting talk, I think, tonight. Unfortunately, it's like the fourth time he hasn't been able to hold on this. I don't know what's going on. So hopefully we won't have to reschedule him. I do want to say that there he is back again here. Hi, Jonathan. Wow. What's happening on your end there? Or is it, do you think, the Mercury retrograde playing havoc with the blog talk here? Jonathan? Hello?
Right.
There he is.
Can you,
I can kind of hear you. There we go.
Okay.
There you are. Well, we'll see what happens here. Unfortunately, it looks like you've had to call in about five times or something. So you keep getting dropped, huh?
If I get dropped, I have a different landline that I'll try to use next time.
Okay. Well,
can
if that happens, we'll, yes, I can hear you good now. But if we lose you again, I'll just go to commercial and then we'll wait till you come back on the other phone. But maybe it won't happen.
Okay.
So anyway, hopefully you did hear at least most of the intro. And we're just really happy to have you here tonight. I was telling you before the show, just letting everybody else know, I let him know how much I love the book. I think it's a great resource. And so really what I'd like to start by asking you is, what made you write a book about the technology of joy? I mean, I know you've been in the happiness thing for a while, and I guess that's a normal offshoot maybe, but I'm sure you had some reasons about actually compiling it in the book.
Well, I'm a junkie for joy, and over the years I've collected a lot of methods that have to do with technology, whether they be apps or gadgets or supplements. And my friends actually said, we'd like to know where to get these, because once they've tried them, they thought that they were fantastic. So they kind of pressured me into writing the book, and I'm glad that they did.
Yeah, now, am I right? It looks like it just came out a couple months ago, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty new, and it's doing surprisingly well because, you know, everybody wants to feel good, but a lot of people are lazy like me, and they don't want to, you know, do intense spiritual practices or, make a lot of money to feel good, which are both useful ways of feeling good. They are looking for ways that, you know, take under a couple minutes of effort that can really tap into.
Yeah, well, how did you come across the specific methods? There you go. We had a little bit of pause there. How did you come across the different methods? It was just, what, research, basically, or? Let's see. Let me check here. Oh, no, I still show you here. Jonathan, are you there? We're not being able to hear you. I still show them all with us, but, I think if you can hear me at all, Jonathan, I think maybe try that other landline of yours, because I'm not able to get your voice in. Oh, wait, there, got you briefly. Hello, Jonathan? Okay, this is probably him here.
Try another.
Hi,
number.
Jonathan.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Hi, yeah, I recognize the area code. You're a Bay Area person. I was in the Bay Area a long time myself, so thank goodness I know the area code there. So, yeah, I think why don't I just go ahead and cross you off, hang up on the other line, and then keep you here. So let's try that now. Okay. We'll get this show on the road here. All right. So how did you come across the methods, basically, for your researching?
Yeah, you know, I have a reputation now as somebody who's into any new way to feel good. So my friends would tell me, hey, have you tried this? Or, you know, you might want to look at this catalog. And basically over 30 years, I've just collected a lot of different things. And about a year and a half ago, I did a talk at Google, and they were very interested. And a lot of the executives there showed me some really useful ways to feel joy that involved technological methods. And so that helped to add to my collection.
Okay. Wow. I'm so glad. You know, I don't think anybody's ever done what you've done. I've never come across this anywhere. So it's definitely cutting edge and definitely something that I think people sorely need. I know personally, just to confess, it's times in my life where I've thought to myself, gee, when was the last time I felt, you know, levels of joy, you know, to the point where I think we really could have a lot more than we are. So, I mean, I think I can't be the only one out there. And so this is really great that you've brought all this, you know, into one manuscript or book. So give me an example go ahead.
Well, a lot of people have a rather ineffective way of finding joy. For most people, I would say their method is to try to get all the people and situations in their life to be the way they want. And if they do that and it all goes the way they want, then they'll feel some joy or happiness. I would say it's very inefficient, and there are other ways to feel joy. You can meditate or do yoga, but I find the most effective ways are ways that can be done in under a couple minutes, and most people don't know about those ways, so that's why I've kind of collected them.
Well, that's definitely good for the busy person, you know, that sometimes all they've got is a couple minutes. And so that's great, too, that it's not going to take a huge portion of the day when people will just say, oh, I'd love to do it, but I don't have time, you know.
Right.
So what are the methods that you talk about in the book? I mean, I want to see what you bring up, and I'm thinking of one thing in specific. If we don't get to it, I'll ask you about it. But I'd love for you first to bring up one of the methods that, you know, would be a really great one to tell people.
Uh-huh. Well, the subtitle of the book is The 101 Best Apps, Gadgets, Tools, and Supplements. So let's talk a little bit about supplements. You know, the most popular drug in the world is caffeine, because, you know, you can drink a little bit of coffee and feel more productive for hours. But the problem with coffee is that if you drink it every day, it soon starts to lose its effect. Luckily, there's these things called nootropics or cognitive enhancers that have been shown to be safe and effective. There's about 15 of them. And if you try several of them, you find one that usually just rocks your world. My favorite is one called sulbutamine that is safe for you. In fact, it's even considered healthy for you. And when I take a couple of pills of this, I feel very alert and very awake, and also a certain amount of joy for a few hours. So that's a pretty good deal. It's actually a B1 vitamin that's been altered to cross the blood-brain barrier, so it kind of wakes you up.
That sounds good. I have not heard of that, and I definitely need to check it out. Health food store probably would be one of your best places to get it.
Well, you can certainly look. In the book, I give all the best places to get these things. And people should know I have no financial tie to any of the things that I recommend in the book, because that way I could be more of a credible reviewer. And they're available at Amazon. They're available at health food stores. But usually if a person has to try two or three of them to find the one that works best for them. Now, a lot of these things have only been around for two or three years, so most people don't know about them, and the people who invented them don't really have much of an advertising budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does. It seems like sometimes they're kind of well-guarded secrets, and they don't really want to be. It's getting the word out there, but you certainly will with your book. So, I mean, I hadn't heard of them, and you know, I thought I was up on most stuff. So, you know, it's like, wow, you know, they really must be brand new or just not heard about. So this is great. I'm going to go back to that section and go in and see about ordering. Try one out. And like you said, you know, one might not work as well as another one. Each person, it's not a one size fits all, right? And so you know, you could get five people and five of them or four of them all have different ones, you know, that they pick.
I have a website in the book where you can actually order one sample of like 10 different ones, which is a nice way of doing it. That way you try, you know, several different ones and you see the ones that work the best. That way you don't have to spend a lot of money buying a lot of them, you know, like 60 tablets of something that doesn't work for you. So all that information
that's
is in
incredible.
The book. Yeah. That really helped me because I have a friend that said that their life was totally transformed by one of these. It's called NuPept. And that one didn't do anything for me. And the one that works for me didn't do anything for him. So you do have to, one of the reasons they're not that popular is that you have to find the one that works best for you. And usually it takes trying three or four of them to find the one that really works best for you.
Do you generally know the first time you take it? You know, so many supplements, you know, they'll say you got to stay on it for a few weeks. And, you know, they're fantastic, whether say it's the omega-3s or, you know, maybe a probiotic or something like that. You know, takes time for it to really, you know, to really make a difference in your life. Maybe not, you know, months, but definitely days or weeks. In this sort of situation, you'll know pretty much the first time you do it, sounds like, if that's the one for you.
Yeah, you do. It's kind of like coffee that way. You know, you don't have to take caffeine for months in order to feel the effect. You feel it pretty much right away. And the effects are very noticeable. You might like the effect of one or you might not like the effect of one, but it's pretty noticeable. And when you find one of these that really works for you, you become more productive, you become more focused, and you become improves your mood. So you really have a friend for life.
Wow, that's fantastic. I wonder you brought that one up. I got to ask you, because I mean, I was reading this, I thought, man, this guy, he says every day he feels this joy in his life. And I think, have you always been a joyous guy? Or just is this just because, you know, you've made it a real priority at this point of your life?
Well, it's because I made it a priority. I was actually a very depressed and even suicidal teenager. And depression not only runs in my family, it practically gallops in my family. So my sister has been in and out of, you know, mental hospitals. My mother suffers from depression. So at an early age, I decided to really look into what were the best technologies for feeling good because my genetic predisposition was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because I've always, you know, it's kind of a metaphysical view. Well, definitely a metaphysical view. But, you know, when certain things run in families, you know, I do believe that we can break the cycle somehow, that there is kind of a connection genetically or cellularly. Like if we shift our energy, that we can sometimes make a difference or often make a difference in our genetic line. I don't expect everybody to believe that, but I've seen it work. And possibly by you doing this, you know, it may make a difference for, you know, for the genetic line for you, maybe for future generations or whatever. But definitely you're stopping that by doing what you're doing. You know, you're not continuing on with that if it's been something that's run in the family. So
yeah.
I think that's great. You took it into your...
I think of it as a sacred duty to find our way to be happier because, you know, happy people make almost $1 million more over the course of their life than unhappy people. They're more productive. They are less selfish because they feel good so they can give to others. And they raise happier kids. And they live an average of 9 years longer. So a lot of good things happen if you can find your way to more joy. And unfortunately, in this culture, Western cults, we are taught that money is going to make the difference. But usually money doesn't make much of a difference. It just gives us more opportunities for distraction.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you're extremely, you know, without it, it might ease your survival stuff. But the thing is, it doesn't change who you are you know, fundamentally, and the same fears and shadows and stuff come up regardless. You know, in fact, you know, it's interesting to find out how many really wealthy people, if they started off not that way, in fact, in poverty, are always afraid it's going to be taken away. They haven't learned to enjoy it, and you know, maybe work with it, you know, to help others and that kind of thing. So it doesn't really, you know, I'm with you there. I think money's a great thing. If you can take it and really live a great life and help others. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are really terrified of losing it, and that's no way to live. But anyway, I know you use these methods every day, right? I mean, that's the sense I got, that if it's not every day, nearly every day.
I don't use all 101, but I use 3 or 4 every day.
That's great. What have you found are the ones that work the best for you on a day? You know, like, I mean, sometimes you switch it up probably, right? But you have certain ones that you do. And do you, like, take one from every category, you know? Or what ones, if you don't mind sharing, do you like to do?
Well, it depends on the day. But I will use the supplements pretty frequently. I do little small meditations. There's some apps that give you guided meditations that are really fun, you know, that help you to, like, let go of negative emotions. One is called Letting Go. Another one's called Buddhify. Another one's called Headspace. And those are fun. I also like certain very simple psychological methods. Just to give you a funny story, many years ago I had heard of an Indian guru who supposedly had a magical mantra that helped people feel overwhelming gratitude. Well, I knew that gratitude was a real key for joy, so I went to India to talk to this guy. And India is not an easy place to get to. You know, you got the plane, the rickshaw, the pollution, the whole bit. But finally, I got a chance to talk to this guru, and I said, you know, Guruji, please tell me what this magical mantra is that you have that so many of my friends said led to overwhelming gratitude. So the guru said to me in his Indian accent, yes, my mantra is the most powerful mantra on earth. And he leaned in to whisper into my ear, and he said, whenever possible, repeat the following words. The mantra I give you are the words, thank you. Well, I looked at him and I said, that's it? I traveled 18,000 miles to get thank you, that's it? And his response was, no, that's it is the mantra you have been using. That makes you feel like you never have enough. My mantra is thank you, not that's it. That's it will take you nowhere. So, you know, now I was pissed off and disappointed, but I figured I traveled across the world to get these two words, so I would do what he said. And he said that you had to say this many times a day from your heart. So when you eat good food, say thank you. Right now my wife and I are in Sedona. It's beautiful here, so I'm saying thank you to the mountain. And the weather's nice, so I wake up and say, oh, thank you for this good weather. I get to talk to you about something good. I mean, basically, we live better than billionaires lived 20 years ago, where you know, people are listening to this broadcast for free. We have all this health care. We can talk to anywhere in the world, anywhere in the world. You know, there's a lot of things to be grateful for, but if you don't take the moment to feel your heart and say the word thank you, you miss it all. It just becomes background. Mm-hmm. So there's some apps now that can actually remind you to feel grateful and help you to feel grateful. And when you tap into little reminders like that, it can turn a bad day into a good day.
Oh, what a great story. Well, I hope you at least spent a little time there once you were in India and, you know, went to maybe some meditations and saw the lay of the land there. Did you get a good trip out of it anyway? I mean, that was the best thing, of course. The thank you, you know, is such a powerful thing to say. When you were in India, did you spend some time there once you got there?
Yeah, I spent time with some gurus, but the most important thing I find is that people have a method that they can use in their day-to-day life that can take them from stressed out to blissed out in a short period of time. And because that's where our life, that's where we live our lives. You know, we don't live our life in India. We live it walking to the car, dealing with the latest problem at the office. So how do you let go of negative emotions quickly and easily? How do you deal with relationship difficulties quickly and easily so that you can spend more time enjoying? You know, you look at young kids. Most young kids are pretty happy a lot of the time. The average 4-year-old laughs 100 times a day. The average 14-year-old laughs twice a day. So we lose a lot of our joy, and I think it's a shame that, you know, if you had more joyous people, I think the world would place would have less problems.
Oh, way less. Yeah, it's probably eliminate war and all that kind of thing. And oddly enough, things like hunger, poverty, and homelessness, and all the different things, and illness, because all that just shifts it all. It shifts everything. It really does. So going back to that sort of idea of, you know, not laughing and, you know, what makes people depressed or unhappy? And, you know, why are so many Americans, and probably, you know, I can't speak for other countries, they seem like they're a little happier than we are, a lot of them, but why are so many Americans on antidepressants? And then also, you know, what makes people depressed and unhappy? Primarily,
well, we used to have more of a connection to nature, or we had more time to be with each other. You know, the best antidepressant is spending time with people that you care about. So I think the fact that we're all so busy, you know, and really 400 Facebook friends is not equal one really good friend. So we have what I call WMDs now. WMDs aren't weapons of mass destruction. They're widgets of mass distraction. And what we need are simple technologies to help us get back to the peace and joy that we knew as a child. And luckily, there are things like that now exist, but most people either are too busy to find out about them, or they have given up hope, and they spend a lot of time watching TV, which is mostly negative images. They spend a lot of time working, which is stressful. And life, modern day life, is, in a way, leads us to some superficiality. We don't get to spend quality time with nature or people we love or in meditation the way that we may have done a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, you touched on something about, you know, having relationships, whether that is, you know, with, you know, a significant other or just, you know, extended family, kids, e-kids, that kind of thing, parents. So I know these tools must help people tremendously to have better relationships. And you have a section in the book on that. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I have a lot of apps there that have been shown to increase the depth and connection in relationships or help people overcome a fight. And there's also some apps, not Tinder, but more apps that help you find a partner who's a better match for you. Things like ones that aren't very popular but evidently are very good, like one called Hitch and one called When Coffee Meets Bagel. And these help you find people who have your same interests, and it's better than, you know, just like, hey, that person looks hot, maybe there'll be a good relationship. So technology can even help us find a good relationship, and it can help us guide us in the right direction if our relationship starts to go off course. And, you know, smartphones are pretty amazing things. We always have them with us. So the question is, can they help us to tap into deeper love and joy if we use them the right way versus just, you know, looking at them every 3 minutes during the day and being distracted?
Yeah. So that's great that you found those apps, and you also have other joy-boosting apps, you call them. And so what are your favorites?
Well, I like one called Kinder, not Tinder, K-I-N-D-R. That one's fun. It has really short, funny videos that you can send to your friends, and people seem to like that one. Also, I really like Headspace and Buddhify that have short guided meditations that help people connect with the peace within. And I like ones that also have certain sounds that create brainwave states that help relax you. And those are pretty new, this ability to listen to certain sounds that actually change your brainwave states from stressed out, like beta brainwaves, to more blissed out, like theta brainwave states. And you can buy these apps now for like $1.99, and that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it is. YouTube has a bunch of it. It's really interesting because my last four-part, well, it's called Rainbow Liquid Light. It's a four-part series that I just did last month, or maybe it was March. That was all about the cosmic heart, but also about brainwaves and bringing in the gamma. Now, the gamma is really something. Have you tried those out? Those ways, because that one is where you get the depths and really deep meditators, whether you're Zen Buddhist or whether you're, you know, some other tradition. Many people that are pretty serious meditators, you know, work with that gamma state, and it's amazing the way it moves across the brain. And so we experience the gamma in class, but, you know, there's also, of course, as you said, beta and delta, which is a deep sleep, and a few others. But, yeah, I just am fascinated with the brain waves, and I'm so glad you mentioned that.
I just got the gamma one. I haven't tried it yet, so I'm looking forward to trying that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Be interested to see what you think about that. We'll have to add that in your, you know, the next printing of your book. So, do you have a favorite way that you tap into your inner joy? Or is it just, like you did mention, you did tended to do, you know, a few on a daily basis, but do you have an absolute favorite way that you do?
The one I probably do the most besides the supplements is I have a gadget called acupressure rings. These are things that look like a ring, but they actually are made to stimulate your acupressure points. And I actually put them on my fingers and my toes sometimes. And it's amazing how good they feel, first of all, to put them there. And then how they change my energy. It's kind of like being able to walk around with acupuncture needles, but there's no needle. And you feel the energy or the chi within you. And these acupressure rings just cost like, you know, a few dollars. And I use that one pretty much every day. And I also like one called the Head Tingler, which costs like a dollar. I show where to get in my book. And that's the thing where you kind of put on your head and it stimulates your scalp in such a way that leads to intense pleasure. And that one's kind of fun as well.
Is that the one? Oh, go ahead.
I also have a chair that's very expensive. You know, a lot of these things cost $5 or less, but some of them cost a bunch of money. I have a chair that uses various technologies that induces a higher state of consciousness, and that one I use almost every day as well.
That's the one that I really love the most reading about. And it's like, woo, I'll save up for that one, but that sounds like, because it's got it all, you know, sound, light, and you know, the massage action and all that kind of thing. It'd be great to have that in someone's house. Now, I wanted to ask you step back a moment to the Head Tingler. I wonder if it's the thing that I have. It looks kind of like it looks kind of like a spider. Is it like this long?
Yeah.
It's got like a little body, and it's got all these things that go around in a circle, and there's probably seven or eight of those little prongs, and they're like metal. It goes on top, and usually, that must be. Yeah, I have one of those. I got to use that, I guess.
Well, they feel best when somebody does it too, and the more of them you have on you, the better. So, two on your head, one on each knee is an experience that could best be described as an orgasm. It's incredibly pleasurable. Most people have tried it on themselves, one on their head. That one, that's not so good. But if you know how to use it right, it can create quite a, it can pack quite a wallop.
Yeah, I tried it a couple times. I had a couple, so I gave one because I figured you could only fit one at a time on the head. I didn't know you could use it other places. And, you know, it was okay, but it wasn't like, so I tried a couple times and it's like, okay, well, I guess this isn't something that's going to make a difference for me. But again, like I ended up getting two and I get gifted one, and I just didn't find it really did anything. But for me, again, you know, I didn't try it with two on the head and on the knees and that kind of thing. So that's probably why it's different, you know,
yeah,
so much different with you.
Yeah, and also you want somebody to do it on you because you can't really tickle yourself. So you want to do it on somebody else and have them do it on you. And also, not everybody likes it. Only about 80% of people like it. So that's why you want to invest a little bit of time and energy in finding new and better ways to experience joy, because once you find a new way to do it, you have a friend for life. And most people only have two or three ways that really bring them joy, and a lot of times they're very inconvenient. I have a friend that their main way of feeling joy is to go to Disneyland. Well, Disneyland's fine, but it costs, you know, a lot of money to get there. It costs a lot of money to get in. It takes a lot of time to sit in the line for a two-minute joyous ride. If you can tap within joy through something much simpler that's always available, that changes how you are in life.
Yeah, it would seem to me, well, maybe it's fine. I've been to Disneyland a few times. The lines definitely don't, standing in the usually heat, you know, for an hour just to do that. I mean, I can think of other things more fun, to be honest, although, you know, it's a pretty magical place. It's just way too crowded for me, you know, most of the time. Mm-hmm. They close the place down except for me and some of my friends. I'd be different. But
yeah,
it's
just
crazy busy. Yeah, yeah. So what I wanted to ask you about this is what I wanted to ask you. What is the link between joy, spirituality, and technology?
Well, that's a big question. Everybody has a different definition for those things. So, but I'll say that my belief is that people have seen those three things as being very, very different, like having nothing to do with each other. And I believe in the future, they will become very connected. So one of the ways that we'll experience deeper spirituality is through technology, and we'll also experience more joy because we'll be able to affect our brain in certain ways that open us up to new energies, that open us up to a deeper connection with God. And right now we have technologies, you know, everybody from Buddha to the Jesus, so Jesus has said that the kingdom of heaven is within. But most people have not had the patience to get and open the keys to that kingdom, because meditation or other spiritual methods can take a lot of discipline. So now there's new keys to open up more joy. They're getting better every year. There's new keys to feel God's presence or higher power's presence. Those keys are getting better every year. And I think that these technologies will act like training wheels. They'll show us what's possible, just like drugs can, you know, certain drugs can give people a glimpse of higher states of consciousness. These technologies can do the same. And then it's up to us to find our own way there. So, for example, there's an app that I like called Inner Balance, and it can give you an audio signal to tell you when you're moving towards a state of love and when you're moving away from a state of love. It measures a certain thing called heart coherence. And that real-time feedback, second by second, helps you to learn how to get to a more loving state really quickly. And I have friends that have meditated for 20 years, and they said they learned more in using this app for an hour than they learned by being in a ashram for 20 years. So joy, technology, and spirituality are going to intermingle in new and important ways.
Well, it's amazing. I just developed an app myself, which is going to launch momentarily. You know how it is. They want to make sure there's no glitches in it. But it's something, it's more navigational and not in this field. But I'm just thinking, wow, the people that came up with these ideas and, you know, wondering also how they created them. Just a technical question. Do you get your apps through Android or the iPhone, or can you just go on a computer and find them? This is for people who are wondering, you know, do we go over to Google Play Store or go over to the mm-hmm. Apple Store? And of course, it depends on, most of the time they go on the phone or they can go on your tablet, I guess, and your computer. Maybe you can let people know, because a lot of people still are getting, you know, used to doing apps. It's still a pretty new thing.
Yeah. Nowadays, most apps are available on Android and iPhone, so I usually get them in iTunes. And they're getting better. You know, people have a hard time understanding this exponential growth. Like right now, I'm talking on my smartphone to you. Well, this smartphone has the equivalent computing power of what sent a rocket ship to the moon. It's basically a supercomputer from the 1990s. It's the price has gone down 1 billion times and has decreased in size by a factor of 10,000 in the last 40 years. That's pretty good. Well, apps now are getting twice as good every year because that's power of exponential growth. You know, and what I find with a lot of these technologies is that they are so much more improved every year that people are rather shocked when they see how much better they got. Just like, you know, nobody has an iPhone from 2008. You know, it looks like a hockey puck for one thing.
yeah. It's funny in movies to watch them, you know, in a movie.
Right.
Yeah, but if you ever look at a movie just, you know, like maybe 10, 15 years ago, and, you know, they pull out their car phones, and they're, like, huge, and they're attached to the, I mean, it's just, it's a really amusing, or when they have their computers up, and they're huge, you know, they're nothing's flat screen, of course, you know, it's just, and you go, my God, you know, we used to use those a long ago,
right.
And it's, like, hard even to remember anymore the earlier ones that came out. You know,
right.
Now everything.
20,
just,
10 years from now, we'll be thinking, we'll be tapping into the joy within through specific devices that help us to affect our brains, and we'll think, wow, people used to actually, you know, travel around the world to feel good, or they used to try to make a certain amount of money to feel good. That's so inefficient. But luckily, a lot of these technologies already exist, and when you become aware of them, it does to deal with life stresses, because rather than having to take a week's vacation to feel good, you can take a 5-minute vacation or 10-minute vacation in your day and tap into a more peaceful, loving place. So I think it's going to grow a lot. And it's hard to predict what the future holds, but I had an unusual experience when I was 12 years old. I happened to be in a computer class in my high school, or my junior high, and they had just bought a computer about the size of a refrigerator, and this computer played tic-tac-toe and a couple other games. And there was another guy in this class who was 4 years older than me, named Steve, who was very pushy and was really obsessed with this machine. And he was always, you know, pushing me off the seat so he could play with the computer. And one day I asked Steve. Now, this guy named Steve, who was kind of this pushy teenager, ended up being Steve Jobs. We went to the same high school together.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he wasn't Steve Jobs at the time. He was more like Steve the asshole, you know.
Well, that didn't change, I understand, all that much. I haven't seen Jobs yet, but from what I understand, he was always, he could be somewhat difficult, so I don't think he changed all that much when he was older. But what
right.
he did leave for the world, I mean, who cares? I mean, if he had personality flaws, I mean, what he did
right.
to revolutionize things was just amazing. So
but,
sometimes
know,
with these geniuses, you have to kind of put up with them.
The only conversation I ever had with him was I said, why are you so pushy? Why are you so obsessed with this machine? And he looked at me and he said, don't you see? This machine is going to change everything. It's going to totally change the world. Well, at the time, it was hard to see that this refrigerator-sized tic-tac-toe plane machine was going to change the world. But that machine kept getting better and better, and now it has changed the world. And I believe that, you know, some of these apps now that already work, or supplements that already work, are going to get better and better. And soon they're going to change our whole way of trying to be happy or trying to pursue spirituality in the upcoming years.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the repercussions in a good way. Of, you know, maybe less drug addiction. Because people are, you know, they're medicating for various reasons, or maybe less alcoholism and other things that people get dependent on to sort of screen out stuff or to try to self-medicate. You know, people do that, for example, if they have low serotonin, you know, in the brain and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying, you know, that's why they go for that, because they're really trying to fix themselves. They know something is totally wrong. And, I mean, can you imagine what it's going to do to the medical field? I came from the medical field. So, you know, I've seen enormous strides in the last, 30 years, that, you know, when I was last in it. I didn't stay very long after my training. But, you know, it's you can really see, you know, in terms of just everything, the holistic, it's a whole other subject, but how the holistic energy is really coming in a bigger way now. And people think that it's taking a long time, but I don't know about you. I think it's incredibly fast, because think about how things changed in the olden days. You know, you could go centuries without much of a shift, and think of where we've been, how fast everything's going in just the last 25 to 50 years. It's not
yeah,
a recognizable place anymore. It's just amazing.
My wife and I have a little hobby where we say, you wouldn't have seen that, or that didn't exist 30 years ago, you know, and
yeah.
usually we can come up with a couple things every day. Oh, you didn't see that 30 years ago. So things are changing. And I think it's an exciting time to be alive, because most, you know, when people only have one or two ways to feel good, such as through alcohol or heroin or whatever it is, or even TV, then they tend to, it tends to create an addiction. And it interferes with them being their full potential. But people have
mm-hmm.
several ways to feel good. They tend not to get so addicted, and they tend to also be happier, because they have more roots to the same goal.
Yeah, I think this goes for food too. People that, you know, emotionally eat to feel better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the only time I feel, you can hear things like, the only time I'm really enjoying myself or feel happy is when I'm eating. Or,
yeah.
you know, so think about what that would do for, you know, the health industry and also for people that are overweight, that have numerous problems that they're medicating for because they have high blood pressure or they have this or that. You know, it's just, it hits the joy technology really hits every aspect of our lives, really. I don't think there's an area where it isn't going to make a difference.
Yeah,
if there is an area,
and
I'd like to hear about it, because I don't think there's an area that it would make a difference.
Well, as you said, we have a great big obesity epidemic, and that's because people are eating to feel good. But if you had other
mm-hmm.
ways to feel good that were just as easy, then you probably wouldn't have to eat quite so much for entertainment.
Right. Oh, it's nothing better than a wonderful meal, but it's like, it's the overindulgence and, you know, when people aren't really thinking and just need to go right for the food. It's not considered a social event that's a celebration or something, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you before, because I don't want to, we're getting close to coming to the end of the show, and I want to make sure I get a couple of questions in here. One of them is that you interviewed the Dalai Lama. I just adore him. I think he is such a blessing on this earth. He's just a wonderful being. I assume he felt the same way in his presence, and he had something to say about these, right, these technologies?
Yeah, I asked him what he thought of all these various technologies that can help people meditate or whatever, and basically he said that if there was something that could help create the state of enlightenment like of a Buddha that didn't have negative side effects, he would be the first patient. And he was very much encouraging science and neuroscience to find better ways to help people to reach these higher states of consciousness. And I really appreciated that. And then I asked him what his favorite way of feeling joy was, and he said acts of kindness. So that's always a good way to actually boost your own level of happiness.
Yeah, I remember quote that his because I on my Facebook site I had a week of the Dalai Lama quotes, a week of Rumi, and a week of Lao Tzu, three of my favorites, and they all have such fabulous quotes, you know, that you can find. But I don't know if this went on one of the days, but I remember him one of his quotes as being his religion is kindness, and so he really does take this, and I think that, oh my goodness, I mean, aren't we lacking that right now? I mean, we could go into all kinds of areas politically and otherwise and see the acts of non-kindness that are out there. And just simply what that means, that we, you know, we don't really, I think most of us don't really sit and contemplate what he's saying there.
Yeah.
Simple,
you know,
but extremely profound.
There's a lot of negativity. So we have to make sure we feed our brains good stuff. I have a website called findinghappiness.com. And on findinghappiness.com, I have a lot of free audio downloads and articles about how to fill your brain with positive information, a lot of techniques for finding happiness. And if people are interested, they can look and on that site and find stuff for free. And, of course, they can order my books there, too. But we need to make sure that we are feeding our minds this good information, because if you don't, you're going to, you know, negativity and depression are contagious like the flu. If your coworker or other people have it, you tend to get it as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. People, wonderful people, like I can sit at lunch with somebody and, you know, I know sometimes they need to vent, but it's, you know, I leave the lunch thinking, oh, my God, everything that came out of this loved one's mouth was negative. And most of it really wasn't, it was their reality, and yet I could see that it was stuff that was bothering them, stuff that was pretty trivial overall, that was, they were bothered unnecessarily by it. I mean, it wasn't life horrendous things. It was just little things that people were doing and that kind of thing. And it's like, whew, I got done, you know, with the lunch. It was like I had to shake it off. And luckily, I'm good at that. Being a healer for so long, you learn how to shake it off. You need to hold on to it. So, but still, you know, it was like, wow. I mean, if they could just turn everything around with that, and first of all, you know, not take so much of their energy to do that. And but I'm going to sit down thinking of someone in particular who's, you know, otherwise a spiritual person. I think I'm going to lend my book of your book of this, my copy, over to that person, because I think that that would be really a great place to start. And I would suggest everybody out there listening, you know, either download it on the Kindle or get a copy of it. If you get a copy of it, then you can loan it out to your someone or make a gift of it to someone that you really feel could use some help that way. But I want to ask real quick before we go, because I mentioned it earlier, you're hacking happiness, and quotes here. So explain what that is, and then what do you think the future of it is? And if you have that, what will the future look like?
Well, I think the future will have a lot more ways for us to go directly for happiness. You know, we mostly try to find happiness by manipulating external events to be the way we want. But what if you could, instead of manipulating people and situations, you can just manipulate your brain waves or your endorphin levels? And I think, you know, even things like virtual reality, instead of trying to manipulate all of reality, you'll have something that will help you to create a reality that isn't really real, but it could have major impact on your mood. Or sometimes virtual reality can help people over phobias or other distressing things. So we're going more in, and actually technology will be able to help us choose what states of consciousness we want and help us to feel good. And hopefully from feeling good, we'll be able better to serve from our abundance rather than feel so needy, which is how a lot of people feel a lot of the time now.
So it doesn't seem like there would be, but I'm going to ask you, are there any downsides to using the various tools and supplements that you have in the book?
Yeah, definitely. You can get addicted to anything if you use it wrongly. You know, every technology is a double-edged sword. And so I mentioned in the book what the potential downsides of any method are, but I tried to steer away from any method that was easily abused. So, you know, you can abuse coffee, but most people aren't on skid row as a coffee addict, whereas heroin is much easier to abuse. So with a lot of these technologies, there is small abuse potential if you get too addicted to it, but usually the abuse potential is either very little or the positives far outweigh the negatives.
Absolutely. So, we're just about out of time. Let me ask you one more thing here. So what would be the most important thing you would like people to get from your book?
Well, I'd like people to know that there's a lot of new ways to find joy that they're probably not aware of, and that it's worth investing a little bit of time and energy to find out what they are and to find out if you can find new ways to deeper love and peace. And once you find them, you have a friend for life. So it's a good investment in yourself to be able to do that. And it's also a good investment in other people, because as you feel better, you can help other people feel better as well.
Wonderfully put. Well, I want to give out the name of the book again. It's The Technology of Joy, and it's the 101 Best Apps, Gadgets, Tools, and Supplements for Feeling More Delight in Your Life, and it's by Jonathan Robinson, our guest today. Now, you can find him on Facebook at Deeper Happiness, one word, or you can go to his website at www.findinghappiness.com. You can order the book there or go over to Amazon.com to connect with them. Not to necessarily Amazon, probably your best way if you want to talk, you know, actually, you know, communicate. Amazon probably wouldn't be that, but that would be the place you get the book. But I would go over to his Facebook site or findinghappiness.com, and I'm sure, do you answer, if someone were to ask you a question, are you able to get back to people when they I figured you did. I didn't want to assume that, but I figured you did. Anyway, well, thank you so much for being our guest tonight, Jonathan, and much continued success with this book. I think it's going to be super well, and I certainly enjoyed it. I would recommend everybody to get it. I think you're not going to be disappointed at all. And you can get a hard copy, which is actually soft, but a physical copy of the book, or you can download it on Amazon Kindle-wise. For some out of the country, I know one of our regulars in the chat room right now is from Canada, and sometimes it's easier to download, you know, when you're in a different country than order it. So that's great that we have that option now. So anyway, I want to thank the chat room. I want to thank the people calling in and everybody listening through the computer and those that will download the show later. And we'll see you next week. And again, thank you, Jonathan. And everybody, have a wonderful week. Namaste.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Healing with the Rainbow Rays with your host, Alejandra. We appreciate you as a listener and invite you to return to future shows on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. through 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Alejandra can be contacted by email at alejandra7777@yahoo.com. She also has three fan sites on Facebook: Healing with the Rainbow Rays, Accelerated Manifesting, and Rainbow Dolphin Pod Healing. Alejandra can be followed on Twitter at Alejandra7777. For information about her private sessions, ongoing classes, webinars, and speaking engagements, please visit her website at www.colorhealing.com. Namaste.